After you're finished with today's episode, please check out the Peacock and Williamson podcast. NFL analyst Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson host Locked On's Peacock and Williamson every Monday through Friday. Brian and Matt give you the national perspective all around the NFL, covering all the latest news and insight on every game, team, and move around the NFL. Get your picks, previews, and much more every weekday with the Peacock and Williamson podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up and welcome back to the Locked On Bucs podcast. I'm Jay Tiarco, joined as always by Harrison. You can find everything that we are doing over at BucsNation.com. Make sure you follow along on Twitter at Locked On Bucs, at Jarco underscore Bucs, at DHarrison82, and at Bucs underscore Nation. We'd like to welcome in all of our returning as well as our new listeners. If you're new to the show, please subscribe and leave a five-star review. It helps other Buccaneers fans find us.
We're going to kick off today's episode and this week's string of episodes with some roster news, as your Tampa Bay Buccaneers not only began their first day of training camp on Sunday, but they also put safety Jordan Whitehead on the reserve COVID-19 list, and wide receiver Justin Watson and John Franklin, quarterback Chris Wilcox, and tight end Cam Brate were placed on the active but physically unable to perform list. As a result, the Buccaneers signed tight end Daquan Hampton and safety Chris Cooper. The team also waived safety Curtis Riley.
Yeah, we saw the videos, David, of the ring ceremony that happened last week, and there was a Zoom or a FaceTime or whatever it was between, I can't remember one of the players, but it was between them and Jordan Whitehead, and everyone's like, oh, well, that's kind of surprising. Why wasn't Jordan Whitehead there? Well, it turns out he's on the reserve COVID-19 list, so he couldn't be around all of the other players, but nothing really too alarming here. I mean, yeah, it stinks that Justin Watson and Cameron Brate are on the physically unable to perform list, but I don't see any reason why either one of them wouldn't be able to start the season. Now, my question to you, Justin Watson's on the PUP list. He's not out there at training camp. He's not participating in any of this, obviously. So does that mean we could potentially see Watson, who I view already as a bubble player, miss out on making this roster because a Jalen Darden steps up and basically steals a roster spot?
I mean, yeah, I mean, that potential is there whether Justin Watson is on the field or not. So not being on the field definitely isn't going to help his case. I mean, the bottom line is, like, Justin Watson, I know they've given him some opportunities to return some punts. I don't know if he's returned any kicks, but I know they put him back there for some punt returns in the past, just to kind of see what he can do. And honestly, it's not that much. Look, it's not fair to Justin Watson, but when I think of number 17 for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the first thing I think of is out route interceptions. And that's not, you know, necessarily, like I said, always his fault. Although sometimes you can say that he didn't get into the cut fast enough, you know, quick enough, and he didn't come back to the ball enough, whatever. But, you know, it is what it is. At the end of the day, he doesn't provide anything, as far as I'm concerned, different than what anybody else on the wide receiver depth chart brings to this team already. When you look at Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown, Scotty Miller, he's a good player for what he's asked to do, but he doesn't bring any other variables to the field that they don't already have in one or more of those guys. But when you look at Jalen Darden, he does, and he brings that special teams ability, and he brings some things potentially to the offense. Now, that the question is going to come up with Jalen Darden is, does he have the hands to be a successful NFL wide receiver? Because on Sunday, you saw some reports, and then Tom Brady even mentioned it in his post-practice press conference, that, you know, Jalen Darden can get wide open all he wants, but he's got to make sure he catches the ball, because that's, you know, that's what you're paid to do as a wide receiver. If you can't catch, you can't play in the National Football League. So Ryan Smith made himself a little bit of a career being just a special teams guy. But the writing was kind of always on the wall. Like, when the Buccaneers had the opportunity to find a guy who could play gunner but also maybe defend a wide receiver in the National Football League, Ryan Smith would no longer be part of the roster. That's the situation now. Well, Justin Watson's kind of in the same situation. He's not good enough of an offensive weapon to really secure a number one, two, or even number three spot, but he's also not enough of a special teams contributor. I know he's done some things on special teams in other places, but I don't think he's enough of a special teams contributor to secure himself a spot without having that offensive prowess. So Jalen Darden, young guy, you can make the excuse of, okay, he's not ready to contribute to the offense, but he does enough on special teams. We'll give him a roster spot. Justin Watson is, you know, what, three or four years now into the league, he's got to start being able to produce for the offense to justify keeping his spot when he's not a special teams ace. And I don't think he's going to be able to do that. But again, not being on the field certainly gives Jalen Darden more opportunities, and it puts Justin Watson's spot in more jeopardy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're talking, do the Buccaneers keep six wide receivers? You got Evans, Godwin, AB, Tyler Johnson. You know, do you keep Watson and Darden? Is there going to be another, you know, guy that steps up out of nowhere and ends up? Oh, and Scotty Miller. You got Scotty Miller there. How did I forget? Oh, Bailey's gonna get on me about that after how much I terrorized him for his Scotty Miller takes. But yeah, so you got Evans, Godwin, AB, Tyler Johnson, Scotty Miller. I mean, yeah. Watson's on the bubble, man. And this is not helping his cause at all. If Jalen Darden's gonna turn into the special teams guy that the Bucs probably believe that he is, that's why they traded up to get him. So interesting storyline as Buccaneers training camp gets going. Something else that's interesting, David, is how delicious Built Bars are. And you know that we are Built Bar fans and we are passionate about our favorites. We know how much David and I both love the cookies and cream bar. But if you haven't had Built Bars, you are missing out. They have coconut, cherry, barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. If you don't know what your favorite flavor would be, go ahead and order yourself a mixed box and you are going to get two of each of those flavors. They're not only delicious, but they are healthy too. 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, 4 to 5 grams of sugar, 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Go ahead and order today, as Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. That's pretty sweet. But you can order by going to built.com and using promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. Again, promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, for 15% off at built.com.
Back now here at the Locked On Bucs podcast, David Harrison and James Yarko on Twitter at dharrison82 and at jyarko_bucks. Find the show at Locked On Bucs. And for segment two, guys, we're going to finish my conversation with the host of the Locked On Falcons podcast, Aaron Freeman. He was on with us last Thursday as we picked up our crossover Thursday episodes for the season, started getting those back up to speed. We're going to have another one this week with either the host of the Locked On Panthers or the Locked On Saints, and then we'll continue on as we get through the division. There will be an ultimate divisional crossover episode. We're not going to do a full week like we did last year. We're going to do one single episode where all four NFC South shows are represented, and we kind of discuss the state of the division. That's coming on later in the preseason here. But for right now, let's finish listening to my conversation with the host of the Locked On Falcons podcast, Aaron Freeman. Let's do talk Kyle Pitts, because he is, you know, an influential person. His name was widespread during the draft season for a reason. But, you know, it kind of reminded me a little bit of Patrick Mahomes during the postseason stretch, where a lot of people were talking Kansas City Chiefs dynasty and can Patrick Mahomes surpass Tom Brady and all this other stuff. And I was kind of sitting here saying, whoa, like the Chiefs have only won one Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes has only won one Super Bowl. And I know there are a lot of other people who one Super Bowl would be amazing for them. But we're talking about comparing a guy to the greatest of all time. Let's wait till he at least wins two, you know, is really all I was saying. Same kind of goes with Kyle Pitts. Like, I see the talent, I see, you know, the measurements and all those things, but he's kind of coming into his rookie season being billed as this generational talent who's going to change the game and help continue to usher in the dominance of receiving tight ends. Is all that hype really worth it? Is he really deserving of all that hype? Not that he's necessarily going out there and trying to stir it up himself, or should expectations be a little bit tempered versus the conversation that was being had this spring?
Yeah, I think it's a fair question, you know, and I think that was one of the things that disappointed me about the Julio Jones trade, because you didn't need Kyle Pitts to be the guy right away if you had Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley sort of as the 1-2 punch in your offense, and Kyle Pitts could sort of pick his spots and primarily be probably more of a red zone threat in that type of offense as the third option for this Falcon team, instead of having to sort of be the guy that's going to have to carry the team between the 20s in addition to being a red zone threat. So I think the pressure is certainly on Kyle Pitts. I know Bucs fans are somewhat familiar with this when they drafted OJ Howard a couple of years ago, and a player that was billed, you know, that was similarly hyped up quite a bit and hasn't quite lived up to those expectations. I know Bucs have also, you know, kind of missed the boat on other players like Austin Seferian Jenkins and whatnot. Obviously not in the same category as guys like Pitts and Howard in terms of their pre-draft hype, but certainly guys that have not quite lived up to the billing as these sort of you know, great, unique, one of a kind athletes and whatnot. So I certainly understand why Bucs fans would be a little bit skeptical on Kyle Pitts. I would say the one main difference between Kyle Pitts and OJ Howard was basically OJ Howard, all his production came from blown coverages in national championship games and he never produced otherwise. So I think it was fair to be a lot more skeptical of him. And obviously Kyle Pitts never had that issue at Florida as the go-to weapon and was a dominant red zone threat for Florida and a dynamic playmaker. So I think it's fair to that some of the hype has probably gone a little too far, where he's kind of instantly being projected as being one of the 3 to 4 or 5 best tight ends in the league without playing a snap. But, you know, David, you're kind of familiar with the same dynamic. This was the same situation that Chase Young dealt with in Washington. And I'm sure, you know, a lot of people, I'm not one of them, but a lot of people think that he quite lived up to the hype this past year. And so we'll just sort of have to see with Kyle Pitts. I certainly think, you know, again, the issue that Kyle Pitts is going to have to deal with is because of all this pressure, because of all this hype, and because of the void left by Julio Jones, he's kind of going to be forced to have to put up essentially historic numbers for a rookie tight end. We haven't really seen a rookie tight end put up those monster numbers since Jeremy Shockey in 2002. Evan Engram, I think, had like 700 some odd yards. The Bucs had a guy by the name of Tim Wright a couple of years ago that actually had a pretty productive rookie season as an undrafted free agent. But we just don't normally see these rookie tight ends come in and sort of hit the ground running and are dominant right out of the gates. And so Kyle Pitts is going to have to be forced into that. I think the good thing for Kyle Pitts, as I mentioned earlier, is, you know, there aren't too many elite targets that he's going to have to fight for targets with, other than Calvin Ridley. Like Hayden Hurst and Russell Gage are good players, but they're not necessarily guys that I feel like need the football in a major way. And going back to Mike Davis, while I think Mike Davis will be an improvement over what the Falcons have had in the running game these past couple of years, you're not looking at a player that's probably going to get 300, 400 carries this year. So I think there will be opportunities for Kyle Pitts to live up to the hype. It's just a question of whether he actually does.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, greatness comes with consistency as one of the biggest factors in the National Football League. If you want to be great, you got to do it over and over again. And that's where Chase Young kind of fell short a little bit in his rookie year. OJ Howard has fallen short of that. Granted, a lot of that is due to injury, but sometimes, and especially in his second season, some of that is due to just a lack of performance, some drop passes, stuff like that. So good luck to Kyle Pitts. I mean, hopefully for him, he lives up to the hype. And obviously for Falcons fans, he lives up to the hype. Because, you know, you hate to see a guy reach his dreams and then just kind of fizzle out. That's got to be disappointing. And then final question for you today here, Aaron. NFC South rankings, right? It's all preseason. It's all, you know, before training camp even gets underway. So it's all kind of make-believe. But at the end of the day, where do you think the Falcons stack up in this NFC South without Drew Brees, without Julio Jones, no more Teddy Bridgewater? Like, every team is completely different than they were 2 years ago, it seems. So where do the Falcons fit in the NFC South?
Yeah, you know, prior to the Julio Jones trade, I was very optimistic. The Falcons should be considered the front runners for second place in the division, just because I do have those question marks surrounding the Panthers. I do have question marks surrounding Sam Darnold. I'm not as optimistic, not as confident in that take in a post-Julio Jones world. I just think, you know, or maybe it's just a decade of being used to Julio Jones being the savior and not having that guy put on the cape anymore leaves me, you know, feeling a little bit more vulnerable than I'm used to being when it comes to this Falcons offense. But I certainly think, you know, they have as good a chance as anybody to sort of be the team that can finish second place to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think the benefit that teams in the NFC South have this year is facing a relatively soft schedule, facing teams in the AFC East and the NFC East. And so if they can take care of business against some of the weaker opponents in those divisions, where you're not necessarily, particularly in the NFC East, we'll see what happens this year. But, you know, a year ago, that was, you know, an abysmal division. Yeah. And so if you can rack up some wins against those teams, and you got other teams on the Falcons schedule like Jacksonville and Detroit and San Francisco, if you can rack up some wins there, I feel like this Falcons team has a chance to have its first winning season in the last 3 years. And so, you know, I don't know if 9-8 is good enough to finish second place in the division, but I feel like it should be. So I feel like somewhere vying with the Saints, you know, is sort of for second place, I think the Falcons have a chance to finish there and at least maybe potentially steal a 6 or 7 seed in the wild card. I don't think they're going to be dethroning the Buccaneers anytime soon.
That is the predominant theory, and that is what all Buccaneers fans like to hear, especially from opposing fan bases and hosts of opposing fan base shows. Again, Aaron Freeman on Twitter at FalcFans, host of the Locked On Falcons podcast at Locked On Falcons, the illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast. Make sure you guys give him a listen. You want to know all about your enemies so that you can talk trash smarter than the other guys can. And Aaron Freeman is the guy to fill you in on everything Atlanta Falcons. Aaron, thank you so much for joining me again here on the Locked On Bucks podcast. Great talking to you this offseason. It's you tweeted out my appearance on your show, and I said it, and I absolutely mean it. I love talking to you, Ross, and actually this year it'll be Julian, because at this phase in the offseason, that means football is almost back, and I can't wait to see it actually happen live and then twice during the regular season. So thank you for joining me, Aaron, and enjoy the rest of your offseason.
I appreciate you having me, David. I look forward to our conversation pretty early in September.
All right, once again, guys, that was Aaron Freeman, the host of the Locked On Falcons podcast, joining me here on the Locked On Bucks podcast as we get our crossover Thursdays back up and running. Those are returning, but something that's never left, guys, is our relationship and our friendship with betonline.ag. They are your fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action, whether it's the baseball season, which is the only major pro sports league still in action, Olympic betting, I'm sure it is going on, whatever the contest is before the next one, head over to betonline.ag. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game. Again, head over to betonline.ag, sign up today, and get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Wrapping things up here on a Monday edition of the Locked On Bucks podcast, and it is the moment you all have been waiting for. That's right. It is the announcement of our Locked On Bucks podcast Fantasy Football League. Now, originally, we already gave Joshua Gardner a spot in this league. This was his pitch. He wanted to do a Locked On Bucks Fantasy Football League. So we said, all right, Josh, by default, you're automatically in. Now, David was going to have a team, and then my son was going to have a team as I was the commissioner of the league. So I said, I will run the league, but I'm not going to run a team. I'll give my team to my son. We had, how many was it, David? 31 people.
Yeah, 31 people.
31 people wanted to join this league. So we said, okay, you know what? We are just going to have a Locked On Bucks team drafted by my 12-year-old son, Beckett. This is going to be his team representing David and myself. So I already explained to him the pressure that has mounted on his shoulders, because David, if the Locked On Bucks fantasy football team stinks, that's not a good look for us.
No, I suppose it's not, but whatever, it's fantasy football.
So he has a lot of pressure. He needs to finish at least in the top four.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or maybe he's going to have to start making his own money to pay for hockey, because that isn't good anymore. Yikes. Okay. So here's the deal, everybody. We are going to be doing this league on the Sleeper app. Okay. For those of you, I'm sure all of you have a smartphone. You just go into the, is it still iTunes, or did they break it up into like 16 different things?
Yeah, it's the app store.
The App Store. Okay, so you go into the App Store or the Google Play Store, and you download the Sleeper app. The logo's a little robot head. Or if you want to do it on the computer, it's sleeper.app. All right, real simple. This is going to be a best ball league. This is an idea that David threw out. I love it. I've wanted to try a best ball league for a while. So there's going to be a lot of rounds that we draft, but you never have to worry about setting a lineup. You're never going to have that Tuesday morning after the Monday night game remorse where if I had just started this guy over this guy, I would have won. No, best ball leagues, it takes your optimal lineup to give you the maximum amount of points possible for that week. That is the kind of league that we are going to do. Yeah. There's no free agency. There's no trades. There's no nothing. You draft your team and that's it.
So real quick, the reason we're going with a best ball format is because I stopped playing in free fantasy leagues a while back. And the reason that I stopped playing free leagues is the reason that a lot of people don't like playing in free leagues. That's because usually by around week four or five, you have somebody in your league who's doing terrible. They're 0-4 or something, you know, whatever's happened. They got three guys injured or something like that. And what do? They just quit. So by the time you get to like week 12, week 13, you know, playoff spots are on the line, stuff like that. When you, if you're facing that person's team, you're loving it because it's basically an automatic win. They've got like three dudes that are on a bye week and they're not even replacing them and stuff like that. But if you're in the midst of a playoff race and you need that person who's playing the guy who quit to maybe lose a game or something, you want them to be facing some competition. So this is a free league. We did have one of the entrants, James, kind of bring up saying, hey, you know, I'd be happy to pay a fee and maybe that fee goes towards the prize and all that stuff. And we understand that more people out there would be willing to do that. We appreciate that sentiment, you know, but it's just something right now that we don't feel comfortable asking you guys for money. This is something that we want to do. You know, again, Joshua brought it up. We thought it'd be a really good way to, one, interact with you guys, and two, kind of give back a little bit. We'll give a prize at the end of it, but also have you guys involved. You know, we'll talk about it on the show, stuff like that. So it's something we kind of want to do for you. And you know, it's, I don't know, I kind of look at it as like making somebody buy their own birthday cake. And I'm sure there's plenty of adults out there who buy their own birthday cake, but hopefully you get the analogy. So we're not going to go that route. So, you know, again, we just want to make sure. So if there is somebody in this league that goes like 0-4, 0-5 or something, and they decide, hey, I'm going to tap out and I'm not going to pay attention to this anymore, you know, I'm going to take my ball and go home type of situation, that when you face them, you still have a challenge ahead of you. And if an opponent of yours, if, you know, if you're still invested and, you know, a person is facing that team, they're still going to have the potential to lose that matchup because it is a best ball format. And, you know, out of curiosity, I've never done a best ball league either. So I've been interested in doing them as well. So those are kind of the reasons we went with that. We'll kind of, you know, we'll game plan it. We'll kind of see how it goes. And then next year, if it doesn't go so hot, we'll kind of adjust and see how it goes. But at the same time, I mean, James, we haven't really discussed it, but we also haven't ruled out maybe like the top five, maybe you automatically qualify for a spot in next year's league. So even if you don't win the league and win the grand prize, you know, whatever that's going to be this year, you could still be playing for an opportunity to play again next year. I don't know. We'll see. We'll have to talk about it. But I can tell you this, if you quit playing, you're not going to be in it again next year.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we are setting a deadline. You have to accept your spot in the league. If you do not accept by the deadline, we are going to go to our list of random entrants, and we are going to offer your spot up to another person. So that deadline is going to be this coming Thursday. What day is that, David? Thursday, the like 29th?
Yeah, it's Thursday, the 29th of July.
It is Thursday, the 29th at 5 o'clock p.m. We need to have Eastern time. We need to have your commitment by then, or we are going to go to the other people that did not make this league. So without further ado, our league will consist of Joshua.
Well, hang on. But we need that confirmation in email form.
Email. Yes. Yes.
So make sure you email the Locked On Bucks. It's lockedonbuckspodcast@gmail.com. Just email us, tell us that you're accepting your spot. One of you is a Twitter name, so tell us your full name, but also tell us your Twitter handle that you're that you have, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. All right. So via email by Thursday, 5 o'clock Eastern, to accept your spot. Our fantasy football league is number one, Joshua Gardner; number two, Beckett Yarko, which will be managing the Locked On Bucks team. We have Ricky, who is on Twitter at @destined_for_greatness. We have Thomas Ortiz. We have Kyle Eastridge, Josh Young, Theodore Shonshek. This is why David made me read the list. There's a couple of difficult last names. And with someone with the last name like Yarko, I apologize in advance. So Theodore Skonchik, Tom Bellastracci. We have Zerk36 on Twitter at Zerk McGirt, Sean Lovegrove, Rick Bell, and Mo_Macon on Twitter at Rose33. So there are your 12 teams. Accept your invitation via email, LockedOnBucksPodcast@gmail.com by 5 Eastern on Thursday, draft day. So bear this in mind if you're going to accept the spot. Draft day is going to be Sunday, August 15th at 2 p.m. Eastern time. All right. So with that, David, we are out of here. Check everything out that we are doing at BucksNation.com. Send us your voicemails and emails, 813-444-5841, LockedOnBucksPodcast@gmail.com. Follow along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at @JArco_Bucks, at @Harrison82, and at @Bucks_Nation. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding day. Stay safe, stay healthy, wash your hands.